The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 16. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 12th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vichakshana Asya Arhati Veritam Vibho Ananta Parashya Nivrittita Sukam Vartamanasya Gunai Anatmana Tata Bhavan Darshaya Cheshtitam Vibho Vichakshana Syarhati Veditam Vibhor
Vichakshana Syarhati Veditam Vibhor
Ananda Parashya Nivritita Sukam
Ananda Parashya Nivritita Sukam
Pravartamanasya Gunair Anatmanas
Pravartamanasya Gunair Anatmanas
Tato Bhavandarshaya Cheshtitam Vibho
Tato Bhavandarshaya Cheshtitam Vibho
Vibhrittita Vichakshana Sharhati Veditam Vibho
Vichakshana Sharhati Veditam Vibho
Ananda Parashya Nivrittita Sukham
Ananda Parashya Nivrittita Sukham
Pravartamanasya Gunair Anatmanas
Pravartamanasya Gunair Anatmanas
Tato Bhavandarshaya Cheshtitam Vibho
Tato Bhavandarshaya Cheshtitam Vibho
Vichakshana
Vichakshana
Very expert, Asya of him, Arhati, deserves Veditam to understand Vibho of the Lord, Ananta Parashya, of the unlimited, Nivrittita. Retired from Sukham, material happiness, Parvartamanasya, those who are attached to Gunai by the material qualities, Anatmana, devoid of knowledge and spiritual value. Tata, therefore, Bhavan, your goodness, Darshaya, show the ways, Cheshtitam, activities, Vibho, of the Lord. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness. Two descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. Purport. Theological science is a difficult subject, especially when it deals with the transcendental nature of God. It is not a subject matter to be understood by persons who are too much attached to material activities. Only the very expert who have almost retired from materialistic activities by his culture of spiritual knowledge can be admitted to the study of this great science. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that out of many hundreds and thousands of men, only one person deserves to enter into transcendental realization. And out of many thousands of such transcendentally realized persons, only a few can understand the theological science specifically dealing with God as a person. Sri Vyasadeva is therefore advised by Narada to describe the science of God directly by relating his transcendental activities. Vyasadeva is himself a personality expert in this science, and he is unattached to material enjoyment. Therefore, he is the right person to describe it, and Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is the right person to receive it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science, and therefore it can react on the layman as medicinal doses. Because it contains the transcendental activities of a Lord, there is no difference between the Lord and the literature. The literature is the factual incarnation, literary incarnation of the Lord, so the layman can hear the narration of the activities of the Lord. Therefore, they are able to associate with the Lord and thus gradually become purified from material diseases. The expert devotees also can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such transcendental activities for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his subsequent followers exhibited expert dexterity in this connection. By following the same method, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order for peaceful life and transcendental realization. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadukamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tadine. This is really wonderful what Prabhupada is saying here about injecting it. Namely, this science, the knowledge of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, injecting it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Normally, the word injection refers to when a doctor takes some syringe, you know, a needle, and he puts the medicine into your blood, injects it with a needle. That's normally an injection. So here, Prabhupada is using the same term, inject, for giving Krishna consciousness. We have to give this materialistic society an injection, you see. But medicinal doses, Prabhupada has used this term also here. Very wonderful language Prabhupada is using. He says the expert devotees can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees. In other words, you don't have to just follow some old stereotype. You have to see in terms of time, place, and circumstance. What can I do to inject Krishna consciousness into the hearts of the materialistic men? Therefore, Krishna consciousness is dynamic. It's not static. It's not static, it's ecstatic, you see. Because one can act, you don't have to live in some, you know, like just a robot, just blindly doing things. But you can actually see what is the situation. What is the current situation in this particular time, place, and circumstance? How can I inject Krishna consciousness into this situation to actually Krishnize it, you see? And every situation is different. Every situation is different. It's never the same. Everything is always changing. So therefore the preacher is always in tune with the current situation. He's not living in the past. He's not living in the present. He's tuned into the present. They say, be here now. He's tuned in the present situation. How can I inject Krishna consciousness here in this particular situation in a way which will be most effective in bringing the people to the platform of transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who's the source of all existence, who's sitting in the heart of every living entity, who's described very nicely as follows in the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyaso rachayatam jagananda kotim yatschaksterasti jagananda jaya yaranta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adipurusham tambaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So the expert devotees, their only desire is to somehow attract everybody in the whole universe to Krishna. Because everyone is suffering at the present moment because there's no connection with Krishna. Of course, they're connected with Krishna, but through the back door, the material energy. One man asked me, Krishna is all attractive, so how is it that he's attracting the demons and the atheists? And that's through his material energy. They're completely, totally enamored by the external energy, which is also Krishna. You see, so everybody's attracted to Krishna. You see, some are attracted to the front, some are attracted to the back. But the front is much better than the back. You don't see the smiling face on the back. You see, the death is on the backside of Krishna. Mityusara harascham. I am all devouring death. So, which side of Krishna do you want to see? Want to see his back or his front? You see, the smiling face of Krishna. You see, that's the sweet thing. That smiling face of Krishna. Radharani is given one very nice poetry in this connection. It's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What did she say? What does it begin? Mana mara vamadina jalavina yena mina Krishna vina chane mare yaya Madhurya hashavanane mana netra yasayane Krishna trishna dvigona vadaya. Isn't that beautiful? So nice poetry she's given. Mana mara vamadina. If for even one moment I don't think of Krishna, my mind dies immediately, just like a fish out of water, you see. Manamara vamadina jalavina menayina Krishna vina chani mariyaya. But madhurya hasya vadane, when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, Mana netriya sayane, my mind and eyes are so pleased. Krishna trishna dviguna badaya. My thirst for Krishna immediately doubles. Now, if you think about it, every time Radharani looks at Krishna's face, her Krishna trishna, her thirst for Krishna, is doubled. Now, how many times do you think she's looked at Krishna in a vast span of eternity? And every time she looks at him, her thirst for Krishna doubles. So just imagine how thirsty Radharani is for Krishna. Just imagine how much thirst he has, how eager and thirsty he is to drink the smiling face of Krishna. See, thirsty usually refers to the drinking, isn't it? Hungry refers to eating, and thirsty to drinking. The term thirsty to drinking. So it's interesting, she wants to drink Krishna, you see. But I had a similar experience, actually, this whole idea of drinking through the eyes. I had a similar experience with Prabhupada when I was a young brahmachari, before I was even initiated. Of course, I'd already accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master, but in my heart, but they didn't, because I hadn't been in for 6 months yet, they had made me wait for my initiation. But it was very wonderful. Prabhupada had come back from the morning walk, and all the devotees were lined up on the sidewalk to greet him. Prabhupada would come down the line of devotees. Every devotee had a flower, and then Prabhupada had a basket of flowers. So you would give Prabhupada a flower. He would come to you in the line, just be you and Prabhupada. And it was so wonderful. You would give Prabhupada a flower, and he'd give you a flower. Just, it was your moment. You're the greatest moment of all of eternal existence. It's now you and Prabhupada, just you and Prabhupada having a loving exchange with each other. I mean, wow, what could be more ecstatic than that? You and Prabhupada are having your moment together. This is my moment with Prabhupada, you see. Even if it's a few seconds, it doesn't matter. This is my moment, just me and Prabhupada having a loving exchange. So Prabhupada would give a flower. You would give a flower to Prabhupada and give one back to you, you see. And then he went down the line. Every devotee got his little moment with Prabhupada. So, and then Prabhupada's walking down the sidewalk, and then at the end of the line, then he just walked down around the temple building in the back and goes to his quarters upstairs in the back of the LA temple. Still the same, they still have that quarters maintained as a wonderful museum. So anyway, I was at the front of the line, just behind Vishnu Janaswami, right at the front of the line. And so, I already got my flower, but Prabhupada was going on down the line, and I thought, well, let me get a little more of this nectar. And so I stood on the steps there in front of the building there as Prabhupada is walking by, just to have another darshan of Prabhupada. So actually to see Prabhupada, it's as good as seeing Krishna. Can you imagine if you could actually see Krishna? How powerful that would be an experience spiritually. You actually could see Krishna with your own eyes. To see Prabhupada was not different from seeing Krishna. That's how powerful it was, you see. So I call it, and so I, when you take that darshan of Prabhupada, for me it was experienced like drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. That's how I experienced it. Taking that darshan, just taking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. You drink his form into your heart through the eyes. So I was getting a good drink as Prabhupada comes by. And Prabhupada was so kind, he was so merciful, that he saw, well, here's somebody who's not in the line. And so Prabhupada wondered, I wonder if he got a flower yet. I wonder if he got a flower yet. Prabhupada was wondering, I wonder if he got a flower yet, because he's not in the line with the other devotees. And Prabhupada actually asked me with body language and body and facial language, did you get a flower yet? He went, he held it up, held up a flower. Of course, I could have lied and said, oh no, Prabhupada, and take another one, but I would never lie to my spiritual master. Wouldn't think of lying to Prabhupada. Even if it meant I didn't get a second flower, that's okay. You want to be honest with your guru, you see. You always want to be honest with your guru, completely honest. If you're lying with your guru, you're just cheating yourself, you see. So, I held up my flower and I said, and I showed, yes, I've gotten the flower, here it is, Prabhupada. It was all body language. I just, held it up and showed him. I got one. I'm okay. I got the flower ready. And then Prabhupada went on down the back to his quarters. But that was such an amazing thing. Here I wasn't a big devotee. I wasn't even initiated. I was just some wild renegade character who moved into the ashram, shaved off my long hair and my beard, you know. And here I was, shaved up as a brahmachari, sikha, and now Prabhupada's giving me this attention. It was amazing. He wanted to make sure I'd gotten the flower. And there were so many devotees there, but he decided, he wanted to see that this one particular Bhakta Steve, why wasn't it, that Bhakta Steve had gotten the flower. He wanted to make sure I hadn't missed the flower. Just that wonderful personal quality of Prabhupada just really melts the heart when you think about it, you know. It just melts the heart. He wanted to see that I hadn't missed out on getting a flower. And I wasn't anybody important at all. I wasn't at all important devotee. No leader. I wasn't a big collector, a big pujari. I wasn't anything. I'm just a nonsense character, basically. They were tolerating me in the ashram. By Krishna's grace, I wasn't thrown out. I was a very eccentric character. But I was given so much mercy and love by Prabhupada. So this reminded me, this whole idea of drinking, how Radharani drinks Krishna. She has this thirst for Krishna. She wants to drink Krishna. Krishna, Trishna. So there's also that Prabhupada Trishna, you see. That thirst for Prabhupada. Everybody was, isn't it? We were so thirsty for Prabhupada's association. Whenever you got a chance, we'd run to be with Prabhupada, you see. Everybody was thirsty, greedy for Prabhupada's association. Somehow or other, if I can do a little service for Prabhupada. I was in Atlanta also one time. There was like 300 of us, and everybody wanted to be the one that could do some service for Prabhupada. Not everybody. When there's 300 devotees, not everybody can do anything personal for Prabhupada. Someone wants to open the door, you know. Everybody wants to, but what can I do for Prabhupada? There's 300 devotees competing to see who can do something for Prabhupada, you know. What can you do? There's a huge crowd, you know. If you didn't get close, you feel lucky, you know. So I was sitting there wanting to do something for Prabhupada. I was thinking, at that time, the anti-cult movement had started, you know, Ted Patrick and the deprogrammers. There was this, so I was thinking, well, somebody might come to assassinate Prabhupada. Like they tried to assassinate Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. But I was thinking, I'll take the bullet. I was thinking, like, someone comes, I'll take the bullet. That was the mood. Everyone had that mood. Everybody had the mood. It's not like I was just a run-of-the-mill devotee. But the point is, everybody had that mood. Everybody was willing to die for Prabhupada. Every single devotee. That's how much Prabhupada inspired us with devotion to Krishna, to Guru. But anyway, so, you know, I'm hankering. I could give something to Prabhupada, some service. And then there was, you may have seen in the Life Comes From Life book, Dr. Wolf is a German scientist that Prabhupada was cultivating. He liked Prabhupada. So Dr. Wolf shows up in the temple room. Now here's an elderly professor, and Prabhupada didn't want him to sit on the floor. He wanted that Dr. Wolf should have it, just like we have some elderly members here sitting on chairs, you see. So Prabhupada wanted there to be a chair for Dr. Wolf. So Prabhupada asked that somebody should bring him a chair. Now everybody's thinking, now I can be the one that gets the chair. You know, Prabhupada wants a chair, so let me be the one that can get that chair that Prabhupada wanted to get for Dr. Wolf. And nobody can find a chair. Everyone's looking, where's the chair? I was sitting right on Prabhupada's right-hand side when the Vyasa-san, and I looked behind the Vyasa-san. I couldn't believe my good fortune. Because there, seen by me and nobody else and out of 300 disciples, was a chair. Wow. I was the only one who saw it. I couldn't believe my good luck. So, of course, I grabbed that chair. I kind of motioned to it was packed, so I had to motion to the devotees, you know, and they all moved aside. So everybody cleared a pathway for me. I had the chair. And I came and gave it to Dr. Wolf. And Prabhupada, of course, was happy that Dr. Wolf got a chair. So in this way, we always want to please our spiritual master, you see. How can I serve my spiritual master? How can I please my spiritual master? Because the spiritual master, serving him is just as good as serving Krishna. If you could be in Goloka Vrindavan, and you could actually hand Krishna the lunch bag that Mother Jashoda had packed for him. Oh, Krishna, you forgot your lunch bag when you came to the forest, but here's your lunch bag, Krishna. Here, just imagine how happy Krishna is. Just imagine if you could hand Krishna his lunch bag, you see. He left it at home, and he went running off to the forest. He left his lunch bag behind. And Mother Jashoda said, so-and-so, oh, Krishna left his lunch bag. Could you take him his lunch bag? Oh, yes, I will take the lunch bag. Just imagine if you could, how ecstatic that would be, you see. If you could personally give Krishna his lunch bag in the forest of Vrindavan, you see. So in this way, we have to see that serving the spiritual master is not different from serving Krishna. He's considered to be as good as Krishna. Acharya mam vijani yam, you see. Krishna says, the acharya is my very self. So the more you can actually be absorbed in serving the spiritual master, that brings you closer and closer and closer to Krishna. So anyway, I can ask if there's any questions now. Here we go. Thinking Krishna is before me while chanting and feeling he is before me is different. See. Thinking Krishna is before me while chanting and feeling he's before me is different. Yes, that's true. How then we can turn the feeling he is and need me? How can we tune to feeling he is near me and reciprocating? Krishna is reciprocating with us at every minute. That's a fact. He is personally reciprocating with us according to our degree of surrender. We are getting his reciprocation via the material energy or the spiritual energy in proportion to our degree of surrender. Ye yata mang prapadyante tang sataya vajam yaham amai badnana vartante manusha partasara vashaha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So Krishna is reciprocating you. If you're caught up in sense gratification, he's reciprocating with you through the material energy in the form of birth, death, old age, and disease. And if you're interested to be his devotee, he's reciprocating with you in loving relationship, giving you mercy, so many opportunities to hear about him, to serve him, to remember him, to talk about him, to become enamored by his qualities, his pastimes, his beauty, his flute, his peacock feather, his dhoti. Everything about him is simply amazingly wonderful. He's full of the most dazzling splendor. Each and every one of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in itself, or in himself, the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So Krishna is definitely reciprocating according to where you're at. Are you in Maya? Well, you're getting Krishna through the material energy. Are you in bhakti? You're getting Krishna through the spiritual energy. So Krishna is reciprocating. I really have a problem of thirst for Guru and Krishna. It is not that it's like the drought of Mauritius. It's not that it is like the drought of Mauritius. Instead, I've got my Guru's association, yet my hunger for lust, madness, anger, etc. doesn't seem to wane. Well, all I can say, it takes time to come out of Maya. You have been caught up, enamored by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy for millions and billions of lifetimes. You have to understand you're sick. You are diseased. You can't come out of it immediately and become a pure devotee. instantly. It takes time to recover, to regain your spiritual health. You have to patiently do this process day by day with faith that day will come and I will see Krishna face to face. To inject transcendental knowledge in the dull brains of the materialists is recommended in one place, but it is often said one of the 10 offenses is to preach the holy name, the glories of a holy name to the faithless person. Can this be a contradiction? Of course not. It's not a contradiction. Now you have to tailor the injection, that's all. If you give somebody too strong of an injection, it'll kill them. If you give them someone too weak of an injection, it won't have any medicinal effect. You have to be an expert physician and give the proper injection. This is what it means. We are meant to preach to everyone. Jare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesha mara agayo guru. You are meant to become a guru and give to everyone in Adesh, Tara Adesh, everyone in this country. You're meant to give everyone in this country of Mauritius Krishna consciousness. So not preaching to the faithless of the glories of the holy name means tell them about something else. You don't have to immediately say the holy name is... You go up to somebody in the street and say the holy name is Krishna himself. That's not how you start preaching. That's what it means. It doesn't mean don't preach. It means don't preach above their heads. It'll bewilder them. Don't say Krishna is his holy name. Tell them, my dear sir, so nice to meet you. You seem to be from a very high class family. You dress very nicely. You must be very well educated. Did you go to Harvard? I can see you're a very high class gentleman. In this way, you flatter them 100 times. Prabhadananda Sarasvati says. First of all, you make a nice relationship with them, you see. I've heard about your qualities. People glorify you. You're one of the great people of our country, sir. In this way, you glorify them. You say, oh, you're very, very nice. See, you have a beautiful wife, darling children. You have very good taste in the automobile you drive, everything. You're very high class, man. But I have one request. Kindly take this book. You see, forget all the nonsense you've ever learned in this material world and just take this Krishna consciousness. So you have to, the point is you have to tailor your presentation to the person. Don't blow them away with some high level, PhD level theological science that he can't understand, that I just, he might become blasphemous. You have to preach on his level. That's what it means. Don't preach above their heads. Come down to their level and give them what will attract them to transcendental knowledge. Can we market the holy names of the Lord the same as the company is doing for his product? Yes, you should become even more expert than Stephen Jobs at marketing the I mantra, you see. He was very expert at marketing the iPhone. Very, very expert. Of course, he was empowered by Prasadam. You know that he got... When he was a hippie, he was a college dropout hippie. And he said, I got one meal a week at the Hare Krishna temple. And he used to do that. He remembered it. And he became the famous Stephen Jobs of Apple computers. He still remembered... And those wonderful days when I used to go to the Sunday love feast of the Hare Krishna temple. He told the devotee, he gave a lecture at Stanford University in California, and he told them all the people how he had gone to the Hare Krishna temple, how he loved going to the Hare Krishna temple to get a good meal every week. So we should become even more expert, because he only got prasadam for a few times, you see. And he came regularly, but he, you know, We've had a lot, much more prasadam than he got. So we should be much more expert than he is. You see what I'm saying? The Manaprasadam he got, he was so expert, he created a revolution, a technological revolution, by introducing the iPhone to the world. So we're getting a lot more prasadam than he did, so we should be even more expert. There's something like 25% of the whole world population has smartphones right now. Can you imagine? The whole world population. 25% of the whole world has smartphones. Stephen Jobs set off this revolution, so we should be even more expert. That at least 50% of the whole world should be chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, I got three more questions. Don't send any more up. Try to deal with these quickly. What is the best way to inject Krishna consciousness into the dull material brains? Well, inject it into your dull material brain. That's the first step. You get totally injected. You see? When you yourself are completely potent, just like in the Vedic times, there was a system called, Vishakanya. They would take a young girl, and they would give her just a little bit of poison, not enough to really hurt her, but little by little they would give her poison until she built up her tolerance. She was completely poisonous. Then they would send her to the enemy to kiss the enemy. And one kiss and he was dead. So in this way, we have to become totally poisoned with Krishna consciousness. So just one word and they just become devotees. By hearing one word from us, they become devotees. We always try to please the spiritual master, but we are not sure that the spiritual master is pleased by our service. That was my anxiety in the beginning. Well, you're supposed to please Prabhupada, but how do you know if you're pleasing him? But then I found out there was a verse in the Gurvastakam. The spiritual master is pleased when he sees the devotees taking Bhagavad Prasad. Jai. I can handle this movement. I think I can handle it. You just got to take prasadam. And Prabhupada's pleased. So if you're taking prasadam, you're pleasing your spiritual master. Of course, don't let it stop at that. I took my prasadam, I'm going to sleep the whole day because Gurudev was pleased. Not like that. Don't take it in the wrong way. But see, in spite of all my ways that I displease him, by an incompetent nitwit, at least I took the prasadam and pleased him in that way. So in this way you have to understand it. How can we improve? Well, you have to take guidance from your spiritual master, from senior devotees, how you can serve nicely. You read the books, see how you can be in line with these teachings by your thoughts, words, and deeds. And then you'll be pleasing him. And if you really want to please him, distribute books, and if you ultimately want to please him, you have to develop your love for Krishna. That is the ultimate pleasure for your spiritual master. Develop your love for Krishna. Out of the three qualities, that is humility, compassion, and tolerance, tolerance is the most difficult to develop it. Please tell us how to become more tolerant. Just remember, Lord Jesus, We are actually Christian because we worship Lord Jesus better than the Christians, actually. We are the real Christians because we appreciate the amazing tolerant qualities of Lord Jesus. And they had nailed him to a cross to put him to death. They even jabbed him with a spear. And he's nailed to the cross. And what is he saying? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now that is tolerant. That is tolerant. So just remember Lord Jesus Christ. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Jesus. Just remember this example of Lord Jesus Christ. How tolerant he was, how forgiving he was. And in that way, you can develop tolerance. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Ramtaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sri Sankarshan Dasadikari Maharaj ki jai.